testimony for God, and there is no fruit for God.
And that's important to remember, that when the Lord instituted all of the various feasts to the children of Israel way back in the wilderness, you know, there was an important instruction that he gave them in Exodus, and that was that the first of the first fruits would be brought to him. And when the Midianites and the Amalekites come in, when the flesh, the earthly things, all of those things that occupy our time, our energy, and become that which motivates us, then what is the result? And that is that the very thing that the Lord requires of us, and that is the first place, the first fruits, the increase of the land, that the children of Israel had nothing. They were void of anything to give back to the Lord. And yet it was a requirement that the Lord had given to them. But because they had succumbed to all that was around them going along with that which was desirable to man in the flesh, then the Lord had to come in. He allowed the Midianites, the Amalekites, to come in, and the result being that there was nothing left, and there was nothing that they could give back to God.
I think it's an important lesson too, that you have applied this to the many things that are in our lives today, that in and of themselves are not wrong. How is it then that some, and the word that I'm looking at, young people, is not a word that just young people have problems with. It's a word that Christians have a difficulty with in general. And that is prioritizing. And, you know, I want you to realize that the person sitting beside you can never prioritize your life. You only, in the presence of the Lord, can set the priorities. Then the question comes, how can I set them in the right order? Well, that brings us back again, doesn't it, to reading the Word of God and to be in prayer before Him. The Lord doesn't say, Chuck, you shouldn't work. He knows I like to eat. I like to eat probably 3 or 4 times a day. And so if I'm going to eat, I have to work. But if, in fact, eating and working are the only two priorities in my life, I'm going to have a real problem. So the Lord would come in and help us as young people to have right and proper priorities. You know what it might mean? It might mean that at this stage in my life now, there are certain things that I'm not involved with at all. Absolutely not. It's not right for me at this time in my life. It may be that others are quite involved with it. But there's one little word that goes along with this. And it's a word that we can't escape. It is a word that meant something to this man, Gideon. And that is exercise. We can't avoid exercise if we're going to live and walk for the Lord here. I believe Gideon was a man that was exercised. I don't read of him in these caves. Or dens. He wasn't here. No. He was not a caveman.
He wasn't a caveman.
No, sir. So the word exercise is a good word for us. To be before the Lord as to what He would have, and for His help in establishing these priorities.
I was thinking that in the beginning of verse 3, it's the consequence of them dwelling in the caves and the mountains. And it says, and so it was when Israel had sown. I'm thinking of the verse in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Maybe we can just look at that. Be not deceived. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. We should not deceive ourselves in thinking that if we sow the things of the flesh, that we're going to reap something that's beneficial to God. Israel, they had done evil. They were disobedient. And I was listening to Kevin and his comments about the yoke of the Lord. I mean, it's really a path of obedience. And when Israel became obedient, they were stiff-necked people, God lifted his hand, as it were, of mercy from them. And can you imagine what it is to fall into the hands of the living God? And so they ran to the caves. They were afraid. That's where they had to dwell. So then Israel begins to work. And I was thinking of Cain when John was speaking. Cain toiled. He worked hard, but he brought the things of the earth. And young people, the legitimate things of the earth, they have their place. And we've been saying that. It's great to have a good education. It's great to be diligent in your job. It's great to be organized. But at what expense? You know, one of the things that we notice as we look around local assemblies is, where are the young people at the prayer meeting? Where are the young people at the reading meeting? And some of us were talking in a corner of things of years gone by, that there was no excuse for missing a meeting. It wasn't because I had a test tomorrow. It wasn't because, well, you know, I'm a little tired. It was the place to be was with the saints who were gathering for prayer or for the ministry of the word. And you know what you'll find, young people? That when you prioritize things and you put the Lord Jesus first, he'll bless you in that exam tomorrow. He'll give you favor with your boss.
That's right.
But when you sow earthly things, only exclusively earthly things, you'll go around in a circle, as David says. You'll make no spiritual progress.
The verses that we started with last year. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's his standard. Seek my things first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
I wonder if we can just... I was just thinking from a very, very, very practical perspective. It looks to me like this enemy, Midian, whom the Lord allowed to come in, really robbed the children of Israel of three things. The first thing, it says that they prevailed against Israel. So he robbed them of their strength. And I'm sure we said this was a subtle enemy, and I appreciate that thought, because I'm sure I can think of things that have allowed subtly to come into my life, and I'm sure you can think of also, that have robbed us of our strength to serve the Lord. And the second thing is he robbed them of their homes, of their land, the enjoyment of the blessings to which the Lord had called them to. The enemy robbed them of that. And he does the same thing with us. When we allow little things to creep in, we realize we have no strength to serve the Lord. We're tired, no strength to go to the meeting. We realize we can't enjoy the blessings that the Lord has called us to. And that's what he does, the enemy does. And the third thing is, he robbed them of their food. He came in and took everything. And it left them impoverished, weak, without ability to respond to the Lord. And that's what happens with us. The enemy loves to rob us of our strength, loves to rob us of the blessings to which the Lord has called us to. He loves to rob us of the Word of God, the time to invest it in putting forth to read and study the Word of God. And it leaves us no different than it left them. Impoverished.